And people don't understand repentance so much anymore because the preacher's afraid to preach it, afraid to lose half her congregation. You know, the Bible talks about, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And I'm telling you, folks, we need some good old-fashioned repentance. Now, I'll tell you what, if you're saved, you don't just repent to get saved. You need to repent every day. Amen? Amen. You need to get washed. You need to learn how to get washed in the blood and cleansed from your daily sins also. Open your Bibles up, if you would, to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. I remember when I got saved, believe it or not, I'm probably going to be opposite the rest of you. But I remember an old preacher named Charlie Hunter who was trained under J. Frank Norris. He preached on hell one morning. I was a young boy, and my mama, she got saved in a dance hall. This old preacher come up, and he's preaching in a dance hall. Them old-time preachers would preach, buddy. Amen. My mom, she's a wicked old woman, and he's preaching in a dance hall, and all them people started crying out to God. My mama got saved. Amen. She took me to church. I heard this old preacher named Charlie Hunter. He's dead now. He preached, man, and preached, and one morning he preached on hell, and it scared me to death. I didn't want to die and go to hell. And I got home. They took me home after church. My sisters was in the car. Mom took me home. They come out and told my mom. They said, there's something wrong with Mike. He's back there by that bed. He's holding on to that bed, and he's crying, and he's screaming, and tears just flowing. And my mom come back there, and she said, son, what's wrong? I never will forget it. It's 1961. She come back there, and she said, son, what's wrong? I said, Mama, I don't want to go to hell. And my mom led me to the Lord. Amen. I was 10 years old. And I tell you, man, I thought everybody in that church was an angel. And, boy, one morning, I never will forget it, a year later, everybody patted me on the head, Brother Harwood, saying, one day you're going to be a preacher, boy. I was passing out tracts, witnessing to my old ugly and mean uncles and grandpa, and they was mocking me and making me, I didn't care. I just loved the Lord, you know, and I thought everybody in that church backed me up. And, you know, one morning, I walked out of that church with my mom holding my hand. I never will forget this. We walked all the way down, turned around. The sun was shining. I looked up, and half the church on one side, half the church on the other side, they were cussing each other. They had to call all the police in. The Indiana State Police had to come in. People pulling guns and talking worse than my uncles and my grandpa did. And it come down to my heart, and I looked up to heaven, and I said, I'll never, ever, nobody's ever going to think I'm one of these people. That just tore me up. You know what my problem was? I got my eyes on people. Oh, yeah. Instead of God. And you folks need to learn that lesson. It wasn't until I was 27 years old on New Circle Road in Lexington, Kentucky, after God saved my wife. She's a converted Catholic, went to Mass 6 times a week like the preacher did, and she knew there's something real. She got saved, buddy. And the Lord dealt my heart. If I didn't get right, he was going to take me home that day. And I got right and surrendered. But I'll tell you what, I repented again. I repented of all the stupid foolishness that I done. And God used me. Amen. And I appreciate that. So somebody in here ain't saved, right? I know that. And there's a bunch of you in here need to get right with God. I'm telling you, you want God to do something with this church? You want God to do something on the mission field? I know you want me to tell you some flowery stories about Vietnam, but we got to start the basics. Wouldn't you say, preacher? I mean, we need to get at the bottom of this thing, get this thing right now, and, you know, and get right with God. And then giving's not hard anymore, amen? You get right with God, it's fun. I enjoy giving. I'm going to give everything away. I hope I get my last dollar away about a second before I take my last breath. I ain't leaving it for my kids. Are they going to argue about it and fight over it? I'm sending it to heaven. They can go get their own money, amen? Proverbs chapter 1, verse 22. He said, how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity and the scorners delight in their scorning and fools hate knowledge? Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. Boy, ain't that a great promise. I will make known my words unto you because I have called and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. But ye have said it not, all my counsel and with none of my reproof. I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. There's our little baby Jesus laying in a manger. Amen. I mean, there's another side to God, folks. You got to get a hold of it. He's balanced. When your fear cometh as desolation, or destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. Boy, don't that sound like a Baptist bunch of people. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Pastor Matt, would you please pray for me, brother? Now, come on, folks. Let's be serious about this now. Let's just, for one night, let's get real serious. Everybody knows, all you young people know, I like to have a good time. I enjoy it. I laugh. I cut up with the kids in Vietnam and all you kids. I love you. And if I didn't care for you, I wouldn't be up here preaching at you. Amen. I mean, I'd be telling you funny stories and blonde jokes and all that stuff and bald-headed jokes and all that kind of stuff. But I'm here to speak for God right now. And I want us all to get right with God, me included. I want to walk away from this meeting, man, saying, man, it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. You know, what I'm going to preach about tonight is you cannot blame God. I'm sick of everybody blaming God for everything. That passage right there shocks about 90% of Christians today. I mean, they are so used to this lovey-dovey presentation that you go in and you preach in a lot of churches, it scares them to death. Man, I'll tell you, every once in a while they like to have men in like Brother Keenan and me and other guys. And we get up our man and boy, they just hang on to their pew. They know that we ain't going to be there very long. And they endure us and put up with us. But boy, are they glad. They give us a big offering even when I sing to get us down the road. They're glad to get rid of us. Amen. And man, they come up, boy, preacher, that's that old time preaching. But you know what I notice? That I don't see no old-time repenting. Amen? I mean, you can preach as hard as you want to preach, but if people don't get right with God, it has made no difference in anybody's life. You know, God has been blamed for everything that you can possibly imagine. I mean, people in general just flat refuse to take the blame for their lives. I'll tell you one thing. I know I'm a wicked sinner, saved by grace. I was given a second chance when I hit 27. And I'll tell you what, people ask me, have you ever wanted to quit God? I said, nope. I sure have wanted to quit Christians a whole lot. But I've never wanted to quit God. He never done nothing bad to me. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, folks, you need to get your nose in that Bible. You need to get your life settled in this church. And you need to go on for God. You say, well, my preacher done this. He made this mistake. He messed up here. I don't think he's right there. Oh, why don't you just shut up and do something for God, man. Amen. I mean, people in general just refuse to take the blame for their lives. And if you want to see where all of that started, you read all the way back to the fall. Everybody says that Adam blamed Eve, right? That's not what happened. If you read back there in Genesis 3, he didn't blame Eve. He blamed God. He said, it's that woman that you gave me. He blamed God. And then Eve got on the other side. She blamed the devil. Everybody's blaming somebody. You need to blame yourself. You know, I'm sick of everybody saying, you know, well, you know, you don't know how I was raised. Yeah, ain't nobody in here raised worse than I was. I mean, both my grandpas were bootleggers. I mean, they're both with some of the most wicked men I ever been around in my life. I learned to talk around them. When I got back, got right with God, I had to learn how to speak English again. I mean, every other word was a cuss word. I remember going out preaching one time, preacher. At first let me preach on the street. I didn't think he'd ever let me preach anywhere else. And every other word I preached, there was a cuss word coming out. I didn't know how to talk. Man, everybody, whoo! Man, you know, but a little bit at a time, I get under men like Brother Wood and Homer Smith and men like that, and they just start knocking that rough edge off of you, amen? You get under some of these little old sissies wearing earrings, and you can't figure out, you know, which bathroom they need to go in. Sort of scary, amen? You're in the wrong church when you get in a place like that. Amen. I'm telling you, folks, you need to get out of some of them crazy places. Adam fell when he listened to Eve instead of God. Eve fell when she believed a smooth line. Satan fell when he thought he was really wonderful. And none of us are wonderful, amen? Now let me give you some. Let me give you the first thing here. Is the deception of people. What a thing, man. People are deceived. The Bible says Satan deceives the whole world. The Bible said in Revelation 12, verse 9, he says, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. I like what that one woman said. He said, you know, the devil, he's chained right now. And that one old black lady says, if he's chained, he's sure got a long chain. Amen? And that's the truth, folks. He ain't going to let you go yet. And I'll tell you what, man, we are in a time of deception. I mean, but before he can deceive you, he's got to have a willing party. When you get deceived, it's because you want to be deceived. Old saying, you can't cheat an honest man. Amen. You know, them women up home, I preach up there at a home church sometimes, and they'll say, you bring the worst out of us. You bring the devil out of me. You know what I tell them? If he wasn't in you, he wouldn't come out. Amen. If I can get the devil to come out of you, he's in you. I'll tell you what, you need to get down on your knees and get right with God and get him out of there. You know why we can't have revival in churches anymore? People come into churches all the time. They're all full of the devil. You can't get the Christians right anymore. The Christians can't get right. I wonder why we don't have nobody saved. It's probably because of you. Amen. That's a fact, folks. Whatever you're deceived about today, it's because you are willingly deceived and you want to be deceived. You know, Titus 1:10 says, for there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision. Man, all these, man, we went to that show today. Brother Matt, God will curse you for buying me that ticket. It's your son. Made me go, dropped me off at the door. I had to find the Jolly Green Giant. They say 7 years ago, that was a really great production. Everybody go. They had these little fairies flipping around in there, man. Woo-hoo-hoo! I'm glad I'm way up here, man. I'm glad I ain't down there. They might jump in my lap or something down there, man, down there on the ground floor. I'll tell you what, that music in that place, and it was a supposed Christian production, and they supposedly trying to tell somebody how to get saved at the end. Why, ain't nobody could get saved. I don't think Billy Graham could get saved in that place. What a mess, man. What a mess. 2 John verse 7 says, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. You know, one time I was preaching on the street down in Mobile, Alabama, down on Dolphin Street, down there where all them bums and everything were. And here come these two Mormons. I never will forget this. And these two Mormons come up to me, Pastor Harwood, and they come up to me and they said, We rebuke you in the name of Jesus. And I said, which one, stupid? There's five of them in the Bible. And man, I tell you what, folks, you talk about being deceived. That bunch of goofballs are deceived. But I'm going to tell you something worse than that is a bunch of Baptists that are deceived. They're trying to run people, you know, and, oh, we got 50 conversions, 70 conversions. Yeah, you got them converted, what, to Baptist religion? I don't see no revival setting around the world, amen? I mean, if all these people getting saved, where are they at? The day you step into deception, remember, you're the one that stepped into it. Nobody forced you to be deceived. Yeah, every time I've got deceived, folks, it's because I willingly wanted to be deceived. I'll tell you something else is the disaster of the times. Man, are we in some good times. I mean, I've got communist officials calling me from Vietnam saying, what is wrong with you getting some dingbat that's half crazy as a president? And here you got this idiot Nancy Pelosi, crazy Nancy, up there, man, giving her country away. She bought a house in Florida. She won't even live in San Francisco where she belongs to go. Man, and they think we're insane, man. I mean, this is a disaster of the times. I'm telling you, we're in a mess. I mean, Canada's got a problem. What is he? Sodomite. He's a sodomite. I didn't know he's a pedophile, sodomite. Man, I'll tell you what. The world is going to hell in a handcar. You know that? It's a wild time. Some of the wildest things that ever happened in the world are happening right now. You know, I told a church one time, I said, you're all praying for the rapture to happen quick. And I know it's coming quick. We're getting out of here. Amen. But you do know when you pray for that, you're praying for perilous times also. Yeah, we're praying for rough times to come, and they're going to be upon us. Amen. I hope you're all ready. You better have something better. You better have something down inside you Ajax won't wash off. Because I'll tell you what, your faith is going to be tested a whole lot in these last days. That's why they're falling out and want to watch Zoom. I want to see you on Zoom. You know why they want to watch you on Zoom? It's because there's no conviction. As soon as Brother Harwood starts getting hoeing down there in them short rows in your life, you know how to punch that button and say, I got to go to the bathroom. Hey, man, I got to get another cup of coffee. You know, you get the pastor up here, he gets to preaching. He gets a little mean sometimes, but he ain't being mean, he's just preaching the Bible. And all at once, you'll punch that little kid and say, I got to go to the back. I got to get him a drink. You should have got him a drink before church started. Amen. Amen. Listen, people are dying from AIDS like flies and COVID and monkeypox. Monkeypox is only killing sodomites. You know, they say they got a stronger one coming out. Let her rip. Amen. You say, man, that scares me. A world you're afraid of, amen? Women with no conscience whatsoever. You realize there's been 63 million unborn babies murdered in America. Yeah, we're a Christian nation. We make fun of the Old Testament where they was offering their children up to Balaam. Yeah, we're worse than they ever thought about being. Listen, folks, these are disastrous times that we're living in. You're going to have to be a strong Christian. And to be a strong Christian, you're going to have to learn to humble yourself at this altar. There's earthquakes, crazy stuff happening. There's people starving to death all around the world. This thing's fixing to shut down, folks. I'm telling you, you saw how quick they put you in a house real quick and dare you to go out. Canada, number one, thank God for the Canadian truckers. Amen? I tell you what, at least the Canadian truckers gave us a spine to stand up against some things. Amen? You'd think America had to be the leader in that, but we're a bunch of wimps. Man, the Army, man, you know what they do now? Or where they quit this. My son went through West Point, and he graduated 2015. They went through basic training. You know, when it got too hard, you know what they done, Pastor? They held up a yellow card. I'm stressed out. I said, man, I wish they had that when I was in. Ours used to beat the devil out of us. Slap us around, beat us, man. I've been whipped by everybody in Franklin County, Indiana, and every drill sergeant. I got off the bus in South Carolina, Fort Jackson, and that was the meanest black guy I ever saw in my life. And he told me some of the things he's going to do to me, and he scared me about half to death. He scared me enough to keep my mouth shut. Amen? Listen, disastrous times. There's wars and killings. There's crime. Man, I'm telling you what, it's crazy in the country now, man. We're in disastrous time. Don't blame God for that. Amen. You're blaming the wrong one. The blame goes on us. I'll tell you something else. The defilement of God's church. Some of you walk in here and you just defile the sanctuary of this building. You know that? Amen. You don't love me as much now, do you? Amen. But I'm going to tell you the truth. I don't care if you like it or you don't. Amen. The church has been defiled because the function of the church has been distorted. I'm going to tell you what a church is not. Most churches are no more than a fashion show. You know, the church is a lot of cases has become a financial institution. Yeah, they brag that they have need of nothing. That's Laodicean church. Amen. You ought to thank God you belong to a church like this that sends the money around the world to get somebody saved. Amen. You sat in these churches, you know what, preacher? Man, this makes me so mad I could spit. I need a drink to do that. I go to some of these churches, and they make fun of Faith Promise. I hope this is on tape. Yeah. Some of these idiots make fun of giving through Faith Promise. And I said, well, they call it fake promise. I'd be scared to say that. I'm preaching this, what they said, not me. And I tell you what, every church I've ever seen on fire for God gives the Faith Promise. There's been some men that taught me about Faith Promise, Homer Smith, Brother Wood, Ron Ralph, and men like that. Taught me, man, if you don't have a plan to give, you won't give. Amen. Amen. And we need to give to God before we give to everything else. Amen. We worry about everything else. We don't worry about making God upset, do we? You ought to be praising God that you're a member of this church or you're a member up there at Solid Rock up in Canada. That's a big giving church too. Amen. Amen. I told people back home, we built that building back here in Indiana. I said, you ever stop given to, I said, I'll burn this building down. Everybody up there knows I'll do it too. I will, man. If you're going to just be a fashion show and you're going to do something other than give to God and give to missions, I'll burn the building down. And everybody in that county knows I'm crazy and I'll do it. Amen. I mean, I'm 71. Life in prison don't have much of a sway on me anymore. Amen. Brother Harwood will support me in the mission. Amen, man. That's not, the church is not to get a bunch of money together. We're to get it out. And what it is, what is a church? We meet together as a group of born-again believers to glorify the Savior. You ever wonder why we come in here and we sing first? The first thing, we're trying to get all the devils out of you. You know, and all out of ourselves and stuff. Most people come to church, haven't even prayed, haven't talked to God, haven't read their Bible. You know that? There's something wrong with some of you. You need to learn to do that, man. Get in your word. Get in the book, man. I let the Holy Spirit of God start dealing with you. You come to church, you'll be, woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. Hallelujah, man. There is no such a thing as hard preaching when you're right with God. But when you're not right with God, everything sort of offends you. I love it when I go to church and they ask me to preach and they got somebody in the church that's got a little chip on their shoulder. You know, preacher, you know what I'm talking about. They got that little chip right there, you know, and they're just holding that thing there. I just can't wait to get down there and preach to them and knock that little chip off their shoulder and make them mad and they get all growly at you. Amen. That's what we need. We need somebody to knock a chip off our shoulder so we can get right with God. Praise. We need to praise God. And I said the Bible is preached and taught to edify the saints. You know, you can't get people edified if they don't accept it, like I said over in Proverbs. God knows we need some lifted up from week to week. And I'll tell you what, then this meeting's about evangelizing the sinners. That's what we're all about, folks. That's what a church is. What else is your function? Don't you wish, sister, the day you truly got born again, what would have happened to your husband got saved? And the Lord just took him right up. You'd be looking around saying, whew, that little 1, 2, 3 thing didn't work. I'd be going through about a 4, 5, and 6 and a 7, 8, and 9 and a 10, 11, 12 until that thing did work. Amen? Amen. I'm telling you, folks, I want something real. I didn't get in this thing for fake. I told my wife, I am not going to no phony church. I'm not going to sit under no sissy. I don't want no mealy mouth. I want it straight down the gum barrel. I want it right in my face. Amen. I'll tell you, something else is the destruction of a nation. One of the biggest heartbreaks today is the destruction of America. I'm a soldier. My dad fought in the Second World War under General Patton. I fought in Vietnam under General Cunningham in the 173rd Airborne. My son went to West Point. He's a captain. He's got about 81 and 83 babies in a tank company. He says he thinks he's in the nursery half the time. And I tell you what, folks, I am patriotic. I love America. I do. I hate politicians. I've never met one I liked. Never one. 1969 in the jungles of Vietnam, I never will forget. We'd take an area, and then all at once the politicians trying to run the war up there in Washington, D.C., you notice they never go. They don't send their kids. They always find a deferment for them. You know what I'm talking about? And then, boy, they pull us back. You lose men, you lose 3 or 4 guys and friends, and you get killed, and then all at once they pull you back. And I thought, man, they said, well, I said, who in the world ever gave you that order? And they said, well, it come from higher up, which come from Washington, D.C. I thought, maybe we ought to bomb Washington, D.C. I thought that back in 69, amen? I'll tell you one time, me and there was a black guy named Brown and a Mexican named Valeria. We went AWOL. I took my Prick 25 radio. We went down in the village. The VC was coming in that village, and we went down there for a week. They was looking for us. I was calling artillery it on them. Amen? Amen. And, man, after they caught us one time, put us in a Connex. That's an old metal bin. They put me in that Connex, and we snuck out and went right back down there. I'm up there in one of them buildings calling in the fast movers. I'm calling in artillery on these crazy people. They got me, man, and they took us in before to get a battalion, Article 15. And before we went in there, before the commander, the command sergeant major, and they're always mean. He was a big old black guy. And now we're 3 standing in front of that command. I never will forget this. We're standing in front of him, and he beat us half to death. I mean, you could do that back then. He beat us half to death. But I never forget what he said. He said, before we walked in front of the colonel, he said, good job, boys. Amen. He's sick of it, too. The destruction of our nation. I'm telling you, folks, if you think God's not going to bring judgment on our nation, you are badly, badly mistaken. Not too long, a woman stood at a ball game and mocked and made fun of our national anthem. When I was young, she would have been shot right where she stood. You know, not too many years ago, I remember when it happened, one old atheist, old heifer, single-handedly got God, his book, his prayer, thrown out of a school system. That old mentally challenged witch should have been strung up on a yardarm. Amen? And since that time, you can chart the almost tailspin of our schools and our nation. I mean to tell you, our schools are a mess. Our kids are a mess. They have no respect. Listen, we are a free people advocating the overthrow of a government to impose a communist rule. Vietnamese think we're stupid. They don't even like their government. Communist officials hate the communist organization, but they can't get out of it. And here we're trying. Do you realize communism's been tried all around the world? Do you realize it's never worked? Why in the world? You know, Einstein said the definition of insanity is to try the same thing over and over again and expect a different result. You talk about a nation that's insane, that's us! Amen. Now let me give you the last thing and I'm done. Die and go to hell. Don't you blame God. You ain't gonna get in hell and start blaming God. You know, these ladies and these men have given testimonies tonight. Some of them got, and I thank God. I love Filipino people. They look just like Vietnamese, especially this guy. I'll tell you why, I got a friend that looks just like him in Vietnam. Amen. They're giving you testimonies. They have that old easy believing. How many pastors in the Philippines have been saved since you and Brother Mark's been over preaching to them? 30 to 50, somewhere near. Baptist preachers. Amen. That's what I think about half the Baptist preachers in America need to get saved. Amen. The way they preach, amen. I hear guys say, oh, man, oh, we need more preach. No, I wish about half of them quit. Yeah. Amen. Amen. They bring a bad, bad spirit on everybody else. You know that? And maybe if some of them quit, some of the rest of the people would go find a decent church and get in. Amen. Listen, 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Yeah. All should come to repentance. All should come to repentance. That's a word that everybody hates in these Baptist churches. No matter what excuse people go to hell on, I want you to know God's not to be blamed. Look at all he's done to keep you out of hell. He gave you a Bible, all the sacrifice and the blood that went into getting you this book, a pure book. There's not a mistake in this thing. Hey, you Americans sitting there with that thing in your lap? My, my, my. Vietnamese don't have a good Bible. The Kaha men don't have a good Bible. I mean, it's a mess. But it's the best they got. You know, when I went up there, the Christians had one Bible among 100 people. And they would share it with families. And that's a goal I set out to do, Brother Matt. I set out, I was going to give everybody in our churches, they're going to get a Bible and a songbook. Because you bring your own songbook. And I had them printed at an underground press. And I get them. And they live dirty. And it's not clean up there. But I'll tell you what, every time they need more Bibles, I get them. Amen. Hallelujah. One time the German Bible Society sent a bunch of, I forget how many, they got a license to send 5,000 Bibles to Vietnam. They put the stamp, they put the legal stamp in it, but they printed 40,000. Huh? Well, they caught them at the airport. They let 5,000 through. Well, I was always drinking coffee with one of the policemen, the Hai Wang, which is the people that work at the airport. He's a guy I knew. He said, hey, Mike, he says, I know you're a Christian. He says, we got all these Bibles out here. He said, you think you could use them? I said, oh, yeah, man. I said, how much you want for them? It was some little old cheap price. I said, yeah, I'll buy every one of them, man. Already had a legal stamp in it, guaranteed by the government. You tell me God's not real. all kinds of crazy. Boy, I hope the Vietnamese don't hear that. But I'm telling you what, I got a good God. You know why God done that? He don't want people to die and go to hell. You got a Bible. God doesn't want you to die and go to hell. Don't blame God. You got a church right here. I guarantee you get the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection here. Listen, you say, well, how do I get saved? Well, the first thing you need to figure out is how you need to repent. You need to understand you're wicked as hell itself. You deserve to go to hell. And if you don't get right with God tonight, you're going to go to hell. I'm going to tell you something else. If you're saved in here tonight and you're sitting there harboring all that sin in your life and you don't get right with God tonight, there's nothing going to happen here. Nothing going to happen in your home. Nothing going to happen with your neighbors. Nothing going to happen in your community. The problem is you. It's not God. I hear people say, God ain't moving no more. Oh, yeah, God's moving. You're just not moving. Get a preacher and pastors. Both got two pastors here, some of the greatest men in the country. You know how many people would love to have these two guys in these big churches and stuff? God sent them here for you. You sitting around get critical, somebody will slap you right upside the head. Amen. I mean, they love you. They pray over you. They pray for you. They help your family out. I tell you what, you run the preacher down at the dinner table with your kids. One day you're going to need that preacher to have some power with your kids. And you've done run him down, talked about him like a dog, and he ain't going to have no power with him. And it's going to be your fault. Don't you blame God. Don't you blame these preachers. God has arranged all those things to keep you and your neighbors out of hell. Now, if you're lost in here today, let me tell you something. In the future, after all your excuses are gone and all your alibis have faded away and all your suffering tormented in an eternal burning flame, one thought is going to strike you loud and clear. You can't blame God. Now let's bow. Now get down here and get right with God and quit fooling around. Quit messing up this meeting. Come on, you sit back there, this old hard-hearted, saying, why ain't God moving? You're the problem. You are the problem. Somebody in here ain't even saved. You need to get to the pastor. I mean, you got Pastor Keenan, you got Brother Matt, the pastor. You got Brother Harwood here. They'll take a Bible and they'll show you. Let's get right with God tonight.